eat.
Oh, so good.
Drink. Talk. Rick Redding and Steve Coombs serve up savory conversations about Louisville's world-famous restaurant food and drink scene. The wine is uncorked, the bourbon neat, the apps are on the table. Here comes the main course.
And here we are at Eat, Drink, Talk, Louisville's top restaurant and bar podcast. We dive deep here into local dining and drinking scene. We've done a lot of that this week, haven't we, Steve?
Yes, Coombs. We have. A lot of diving, a lot of swimming, a lot of tasting, drinking. It's been a good week.
Yeah, we're recording early on Friday because, why are we doing this?
I'm going to be out of town at the Mid-America Restaurant Expo in Columbus, Ohio, so I won't be back for our normal recording date on Monday.
Okay, but you've been hobnobbing around the state drinking bourbon today, right?
Today I was, yeah. We had intended to do a barrel pick. We thought at Buffalo Trace, but as it turns out, it was at 1792 Distillery in Bardstown. So we had to take the Bluegrass Parkway across to Bardstown and had a good day.
Well, there you go. Well, I'm sure that was fun. Before we get into the show, I want to remind our listeners that this show is sponsored by Harvest, elevated hyper-local food served up to you Tuesday through Saturday, 5 to 10, and brunch Friday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 2:30. It's at 624 East Market in Nulu, very close to the soon-to-arrive scoop shop from our friends at Louisville Cream.
Yeah, absolutely.
They have that three-course Thursdays deal where you can get three courses for just $30. It's a great deal. Call them at 384-9090 for reservations.
Now, were I wearing my new glasses, which I'm not, I would talk about the Eye Care Institute, but you have new contacts, so you can just weigh in there.
My great Eye Care Institute contacts are working perfectly. You can go down there and make an appointment. Their phone number is 502-589-1500. And very nice folks down there. They had that that seminar last week about for people who have, like us, like Steve and I, a hard time using these reading glasses.
I have trifocals, for heaven's sake. What's your excuse?
I don't know.
And you have contacts. What again is your excuse?
Whatever bad thing you have from, our thing is reading all the time. I remember at age 25 is when I first knew I had to get glasses and contacts. I was sitting on the press row at Rupp Arena, and I couldn't see across the floor to see what Eddie Sutton was doing. So I said, I got to go.
He was tipping something back, I would imagine. Doing something. Cussing somebody out, I'm not certain.
So anyway, we're here to talk about restaurants and drinking, and where do we want to start, Steve?
Well, the still existing rumor is about BBC and St. Matthew's closing and reopening as the most oft-talked-about rumor so far is a country and western bar. Nobody has confirmed that, including owner Pat Hagen, but it's funny, when you hear it from multiple sources, it probably has some validity. So a country and western
somebody's
bar.
Really good at spreading the rumor and they're going to different people and
possibly so. But then again, you could see a lot of, Pressler's Western Shop attire in St. Matthew soon if that's true. You and I talked about, the hit that maybe Pat Hagen had taken with the Germantown Craft House. Mm-hmm. And he's been in that spot in St. Matthew's for 40 years now. That's a long run. So maybe it's time to get out.
Well, I don't think you can overdo it down there with another bar appealing to the partying crowd. Tin Roof does well. Gerstle's does well. If you got into that game.
And my 24-year-old niece said to me back in the summertime, she says, nobody goes down to Bardstown Road anymore. We all go to St. Matthew's. So, that could be... Could be a lot, that's going on that we don't know about because we're too old.
That's right.
But, and we're not going to show our hand on the next rumor here, but there's more to happen in St. Matthew's. There's going to be some changes. The Nabe, it is a change in. That's right. So this will not be the last of it. And it looks like St. Matthew's is the hot spot because it is a nighttime hot spot. So yeah. I'm hearing from operators right now that lunch is not that great, but dinner really ramps up and late night really ramps up. But that's not really a surprise given that you and I and our spouses, or my spouse and your girlfriend, we all went to Mayor's, Gerstle's, Duchess, all these places in the 1980s to see live music or just hang out. So maybe it's just having a second rebirth.
Yeah, or we're talking about it more. There's plenty of, I can tell you that from driving around down there, there's a lot of people down there and on weekend nights, and it's hopping.
Absolutely.
It's the odd place in town.
So you heard John Schnatter talk this
right.
week.
I've been working on trying to get him for an interview, but that seems a little bit out of reach at these points. I did interview him.
Eat, drink, talk? What is that?
I did interview him back in 1998 when I was a reporter at Business First. And
both of you were but kids.
Yeah, we were youngsters.
Children.
Then. We're actually, you know, a year apart in age and you know, a year apart and about $1 billion.
And a lot of commercials.
That's right. I haven't been in any, and he's been in. But anyway, I don't want to compare myself to him. But it was entertaining. He was the keynote speaker at the Greater Louisville Inc. annual meeting on Wednesday, I believe it was. And it was very interesting. He had a lot to say. He's coming out with a new autobiography, which I didn't know about, and that ought to be very interesting. I think in the piece I wrote on Eat, Drink, Talk is about this. I think a lot of people in Louisville are going to be especially interested to see if they're included.
That's right. Do you think he named names, or did he allude to that when he spoke?
I don't know. I think it will be purposely avoiding any conflicts. I think it's
him.
Yeah,
he's like pro conflict. He's not the least bit.
Well,
conflict
yeah,
averse.
But I think in this book he's trying to push it as a pro business book. He in fact told the audience there that he had gotten rid of his first publisher because that publisher refused to print his words. As
See
he
what I mean?
As he spoke them.
He's gonna have a conflict with somebody. That's just kind of John's style.
Yeah, that will. And
I like you have interviewed him multiple times, and he does not steer clear of that kind of stuff unless his publicist or his PR person is there to jerk his leash.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is not easy to do. So it'll be interesting to see it. We will talk about it. We have requested a press copy of that. Have not heard back yet from Papa John's. They may make us buy one.
Yeah.
Honestly.
they may do that. And in addition to that, I just wanted to mention real quick the thing about Schnatter, because he's a, you know, one of the biggest franchises in the country and is running it. He is going full sport ahead, making a lot of changes in the company, he says, including the logo. He's adding more people other than himself in the logo. And the new commercial spot that he produced is going to air in the Super Bowl was, you know, I thought it was pretty good.
Oh, you guys did get to see
it. We got to see it. They won't release it, like, to the world or anything, but
did they charge you to see it?
Because the 1,000 people that were there, I got in there on a media credential, but I think the
nice.
Tickets were steep to go to that thing. It's not cheap.
To the GLI thing?
Wow. Yeah,
we got.
It was at the Palace.
You got to pay the man.
Got to pay.
Speaking
him.
Of cheap spots, though, Cahoots.
Cahoots is coming back.
Well, as an Indian restaurant, so you know, Cahoots is dead for all intents and purposes, and it's going to be an Indian restaurant that's going to have. A dance club kind of a feel.
Wow.
and
maybe karaoke.
Well, it's owned by the same people who own Kashmir just down the road.
Yeah.
And was it Time and Space is the next bar.
Yeah, they
bar
operate
to it.
That thing next door to it.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
It could work.
So
it could work.
It'll be interesting. One of the comments that was made in Inside of Louisville story was that it's so dirty.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, duh. It's been dirty since 1980 when Tooligans had it. It should have been condemned then, but it just kept getting good musical acts.
Yeah, well, there you go. I can imagine 10 years from now, Steve, we're going to be sitting here doing the show and say, remember that place used to be called Cahoots down there?
Exactly. So speaking of a changeover, Eiderdown's owners have not yet spoken to us. They want to put us off until next week to do a podcast.
Why are they doing that?
Well, it appears that, I think as we touched on last week, that the concept, they feel the concept is a little bit overpriced for the neighborhood, and they want to make it a little bit more German, a little less gastropub, and in hopes of attracting people, in hopes of attracting people who can walk there from the neighborhood. So that's kind of cool. I hope that works out for them, because it seems to be in earnest rather than just whim. So we will hear from them hopefully by next Thursday.
I tell you what, I'm just going to interject here, Steve. Talking about I passed by Eiderdown this week, and this is not a restaurant related story, but I went to a business called Superfan U. Have you ever heard of it?
No.
Tendai Cherisika, who St. X grad, who played football at U of L.
Right.
He was one of my guests on Rusty Satellite Show. It's just a really cool space in the Germantown Mill Lofts. You know, it's not something you really want to go visit because it's a business office. It's got 7,400 square feet. It was just really cool. So, you know, I just liked it.
Just in case you're in Germantown, think of him. Don't go see him, right? Tendai Cherisika. Well, what a great name to say.
It's near Finn's Southern Kitchen.
Sure. So I went to Manhattan Project this week with a friend, and it was not the greatest experience. But, yeah. You know, she said the burgers are better. She said the choices we made weren't so great. But it is a gussied up sports bar. And, you know, to counter that, I got to go to Mayan Cafe last night.
Oh, there you
brilliant,
go.
Brilliant, as always. Absolutely brilliant. Still one of my top three favorite restaurants in town.
It's cool. You had plantains, right?
No, I did not have plantains. Man. I had ceviche and an all vegetable dish called the spaghetti squash toss. So come, you know, see it at my Facebook page if you want.
All right, there you go. Well, we got to get into our first guest, and you talk with somebody we're both familiar with.
That's right, Anthony Lamas. He is hosting the Latin All-Stars Dinner on Monday night, which would be tonight of this recording. And he's also returning to Dinner and a Movie, which is, I think, a quarterly event that they do at Ceviche. It's fantastic. You got to put it on your list. They're going to do two runs before Valentine's Day on February 12th. And 13. So
you told me you weren't a big fan of that first movie, 50 First Dates.
Not the movie, but I'm sure the dinner will be great. So if you love it, go do it. It'll be a fun treat, and will certainly help your Valentine's Day status with your spouse.
Yeah, that's
significant. Whatever it is.
Well, those of you that are married, those of us that are still in girlfriend boyfriend stage,
we need to
work on it a little more.
Yeah.
So anyway, let's roll the interview. And in the second part of the show, just to mention, our second guest is Dawn
Bianconcini.
I'm working on pronouncing that name after I spent some time with her. It's a really great thing. So we'll be back with our favorites right after the Anthony Lamas
interview. Head coach of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Jeff Rom.
Today I'm with Matt Jones,
Kevin Harned, Pat 40.
But I'm with Anoush Shariat,
Crispin Ball,
United States Congressman John Yarmuth,
Sarah Brofancher, and Susie Eastman.
I have Kristen Boone,
one of St. Matthew's most favorite sons, Danny Flanagan.
It's Pat Day.
The list goes on and on. The most interesting people in the Ville are on the Rusty Satellite Show with Rick Redding. New episodes Thursdays on Louisville.am.
We're at Ceviche Restaurant this morning talking to chef and owner Anthony Lamas. Anthony, welcome to Eat, Drink, Talk.
Good to be here. Good morning.
It is good morning. Usually we see you at night when you're serving guests.
Yes, that is true.
Are you a morning person at all, or does it...
You know, in my older age and not staying out as late, I've become more of a morning person, and especially with... You know, young boys, I have no choice. So, yeah, but lately I've become more of a morning person, and I'm kind of enjoying it.
I've liked the shift to going back to that for sure. So we're going to talk a little bit about the Latin All-Stars Dinner, which is on January 30th here at Ceviche. And you are going to team up with Fernando Martinez and Bruce Yukon, two star chefs here in Louisville, Bruce being from Mayan Cafe and Fernando being with multiple restaurants, not the least of which is Artesano and Guacamole. Talk about this seven-course feast. You know, it's a fundraiser for the poor, with, I believe, Partners in Health, right?
Uh-huh, correct.
How did this come about? Did you guys, decide to collaborate on this together, or did somebody come to you and say, we ought to do this?
It just popped in my mind one day, I was kind of, I don't know where I was, and I might have been just at home, and, the news was kind of... Yeah, getting depressing and so much divide. I was just like, I started thinking about, well, look at where we are, all different, parts of Latin America, and we're here in America. And I thought, I'm very grateful that we were able to come to Louisville and have our livelihood here and to open businesses. So I was grateful for that. And, I didn't want to make it political or anything like that, but I was just kind of thinking, I'm happy and I'm grateful for what I have, and my parents came from different countries.
Mexico and Puerto Rico, right?
Yes, my mother from Mexico and dad from Puerto Rico. So I just started thinking, and I reached out to Fernando first, and I said, "Hey, Fernando, you know, let's cook together. Let's do something. You know, I'd love to have it's a when you think about you know 10 top restaurants in Louisville or 10 top chefs, our names are going to be in there, and I'm flattered by that, right. And we're honored. You know that three Latinos came from somewhere else. We're in Louisville, Kentucky, and we've been able to be successful. So." He was really excited about it. I said, you know, let's reach out to Bruce. And they were just all real excited. So we met about it a couple times.
Oh, nice.
And we're all thrilled. So
this
really
was a face-to-face collaboration. This wasn't sending emails back and forth or text. So.
No. We met at, we actually had lunch at Blue Dog ended up taking a tour together at Red Hawks, which was really cool.
Nice.
We got to do a little back of the house before they opened. So. Yeah, a lot of people were coming up to us. There were some customers that were like, oh, what are you three doing together? Like, what's going on? You know, and then he came out and he was like, you know what? You know, it's like, oh, we're just talking about doing a dinner or something. And,
did somebody have the breakfast pizza? Please tell me. In the group?
That's no, like but of, someone had the I think I town. Had the sandwich with the egg or something. I don't know. But we
but it was all good. Different.
Oh, it's always good. It's one of my favorite places.
It is. It's one of the best restaurants in town. One of my favorite, I should say. Best is subjective. So the menu's pretty cool. So, you know, just a quick glance at it. You know, the past hors d'oeuvres with mini frita langosta, which are lobster frita, right? Mm-hmm. There's a yucca fritter with eggplant and goat cheese puree, braised lamb tamale, manioc-crusted sea scallops, chocolate roll with chocolate mousse for dessert. I mean, is this – did you say you take these two courses, I'll take these two, or – again, how did the menu come together?
Yeah, so, I mean, they were just, they were really excited. So it even became a little bigger because I wasn't trying to put too much work on them. And all of a sudden they stepped up. And Ann, you know, who manages the...
Ann Shadle?
Yes, uh-huh. Who manages the Mayan...
Mayan Cafe.
Cafe. And, you know, it didn't start off. I just wanted to do something. And then we all got involved. And then she said, you know... Hey, I know Partners in Health work with different countries, and we can do something with Mexico. And then, you know, it just all came together. And then all of a sudden, they're like, you know, we'll do an appetizer, and then we'll do another. No, we'll do two dishes each. And you know, I was just trying to like, hey, have you guys in my kitchen? Let's do, you know. But
and they seven were all courses gung-ho. Later,
seven courses later, and so it turned into this really big dinner, which I'm really really thrilled just to cook with them. I'm flattered to have them in my kitchen. But we're really looking forward to next year now. And we thought, you know what? Next year we can – because we're closing the whole restaurant. I said, instead of us doing two dishes and stuff, we can get some more Latin chefs. And, you know, I'm friends with Salazar, and he saw that I was doing it in Cincinnati. He reached out to me. I said, you know what? I need to get Jose Sal here. Maybe we'll get Douglas Rodriguez, who, you know, Fernando worked with. Uh-huh. You know, I might reach out to Aaron Sanchez. I don't know. You know, we're just going to reach out and make this an annual thing and for a good cause and a great time with a bunch of Latinos in the same kitchen.
So the price on this is $225 per seat, and it is on January 30. Last I checked, there were 8 seats left. So how many does that mean are sold at this point?
So we wanted to cap it. We're closing the restaurant and capped it at 50, just so we can really focus and do beautiful things. And so I think we have 4 seats left. From yesterday. So, you know, it's a big price tag, but that includes all pairings of wines, you know, some past hors d'oeuvres. That includes, I believe, the gratuity. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's all inclusive.
Everything
is in there. And, you know, it's for a great cause. We're gonna give some money back to some Latin country and help some other Latinos if we can.
Well, call Ceviche if you need a seat, 502-473-8560, right? Because it'll all be handled here. Cool. So let's talk about something a little more self-indulgent. A couple of the return of your dinner and a movie night, which it's going to be a two-night event on February 12 and 13, kind of a run-up to Valentine's Day.
Correct.
The special movie will be 50 dates.
51st
dates, because Drew Barrymore.
Yeah, and
has a bad memory, and she. It meets Adam Sandler every day for 50 days. Is that right? Something
that's
like that?
Correct. And there's always a pineapple involved, and they're in Hawaii, and I thought the food would be fun.
And that's why you've got this tropical feast piled up with poke and huli huli chicken and mahi mahi with pineapple salsa and Kahlua pig.
Yes.
He's really smiling big time. Yeah. Thinking about
and
this.
And those are like down my thing. So yeah, we've started doing them again. And you know, I believe the first one was with you and I, or I think
and
you
my
were
wife
there.
And
you wrote about it, and that was inspired by
it was El Bulli.
Yes.
Was the dinner.
Ferran Adrià, inspired by his kind of documentary, and I said, you know, it would be fun to do some really molecular, modern twist. And then we just started to do some just food-themed movies, you know, from Julia to Julia to Ratatouille, Big Night. We ran out of all those, and people just love them, and we started selling out really quickly, so we do two nights now. And
on all your dinner
movies? On the dinner movies, we do two now, yeah, and they usually sell out really quick. My manager Hap Cohan was like, you know, I think we could do some fun movies that still are in a country or something like that. And I was like, you know what, that could be fun. So
that's,
you know,
the
just
trick
fun
is,
ones.
To, is to pick up a theme,
yes,
where you can parallel some dishes to what might
exactly
be,
so they get to enjoy this. And then they're like, you know, for instance, 51st Dates, they're like, our next one's going to be My Big Fat Greek Wedding, so we're going to do this Greek kind of fun food. And we ran out of all the you know, from Chef and you know, all those like I said, food.
Culinary inspired movies.
Yes, exactly. So we might repeat some, you know, but like we did the Christmas Story for Christmas and the Chinese Turkey and all that, and it just sold out so quick, and people are loving it. One of the reasons, though, is we have a lot of restaurants in town, and this gives me a chance to kind of keep my creative mind and creating these menus and being able to play with some different flavors, because we're sharing a lot of our customers now, and we always try to find a, you know, way to be unique, and we thought this is a fun way, and people are enjoying it.
And this one is $95 per person. That includes a cocktail reception, and of course, the movie, and a five-course meal with pairings, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wine pairings? I think
that's
a deal.
Yeah, and that's always the price. It's $95. That includes a little, you know, a drink when you come in. That's sometimes with the theme. And then you have this dinner, and you get the movie and each course. And a lot of times the dishes are inspired by the movie. If there's some food in there, I do my interpretation of it. So, you know, I can't always time it on to the part, but it seems like it happens a lot. So all of a sudden they're getting served this dish while they're seeing it. And you talk about a roller coaster of senses, you know. I mean, you're seeing this thing, and food is central anyway. So we enjoy in the back of the house doing it, and my staff enjoys it as well.
Oh, I can speak selfishly and say that it was one of the best food experiences I've had in Louisville when you guys did that first time.
Yeah,
and that was the introduction of the chocolate avocado, if I'm not mistaken. Was it not?
It was the avocado ice cream. A couple young guys and myself, and we were all playing back there, and as we were experimenting and testing dishes, you know, a month before the dinner, we created all these different little techniques, and the avocados stayed with us. So, you know, pastry chef or Steve Rapa is in command now, and he's pumping those out. And
that's on the menu.
It's on the menu
now, right?
Now, yeah, standard, and it's become really popular. So we're actually, that's become a signature dish. And it happens like that sometimes, you know. You create something, and then you're like, you know what, this becomes a signature. So,
well, come get it, folks, here at Ceviche. Where it's in the heart of the Highlands. Give us the address. Just
1538 Bardstown Road, about a block up from Eastern Parkway.
And open 7 nights a week.
Nights a week, 5 o'clock every day. And yes, don't be scared by, you know, the upscale look, because we're very casual and you know, so.
It is a come-as-you-are place, but with upscale food.
It
sure
is. It definitely is, yes.
Anthony Lamas, thanks for giving me some time today on the podcast.
It's my pleasure.
Hi, this is Alec Bowles, co-host of the What Happens Next podcast on Louisville.am. We talk about improv each week with We Are the Louisville Improvisers. With,
yeah, totally.
With Chris Anger and Brian Hines.
Yeah.
And Jenny.
Where's my water?
Okay. Well, right now we're just having a few treats. So we hope you can listen. Find us at Louisville.am in iTunes or using the Stitcher app on your iPhone or Android device.
All right, go. And we're back for the second half of the You Drink Talk show. That interview with Anthony Lamas, you know, I've talked to this guy, I don't know, 15 years maybe. I've never seen him more relaxed.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's really in his element now with the one restaurant and doing cool things like this that are really creative. The Latin All-Stars thing was a collaboration between him and Bruce Yukon and Fernando Martinez. And they just really seem to be jazzed about it. So I'm excited for them.
Well, good. Yeah, that's good food in the city. Maybe that'll turn into an annual event or something.
It will. And, in fact, as he mentions in the interview, that now people in Cincinnati are asking about doing the same there, or joining the fray. So that would be cool. I'd love to see it happen. He wants to get Douglas Rodriguez, which is a very famous chef in Miami.
Okay.
Who would come up for it. He actually came up for a Fernando Martinez dinner a couple of years ago. So could be the beginning of something big.
There you go.
Speaking of big, you know, you went to the seafood lady this week, and you only got a half order of crab.
Oh, yeah.
Why not the whole order, which would have been big enough for your trunk, giving
her
portions.
They do have good portions there. And I want to say I've never heard a place that had as much buzz for such a average like location. Uh-huh. I mean, if you don't know the story, she was over on 6th or 7th and Oak, mm-hmm. and got some publicity and got a bunch of people coming in there.
Of a food truck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then she got robbed, and at some point she closed that down. They moved into this place on Oak Street near First Street,
mm-hmm.
and it's a nice space, and you know, there was stories on Wave TV last week that there was lines out the door down the sidewalk.
Wow!
To get in here to this place,
you don't see that often.
You don't. And I tell you, I'm not sure that they were prepared for it. I mean, I went in there on a Thursday at 11:30, and there was a line. It wasn't out the door.
Right.
It got a lot bigger by the time we finished eating.
Right.
But I will tell you about the food is awesome. It was this half order was like five crab legs and four giant shrimp, great Cajun spices on them, and you get two sides on that.
What did it cost?
It was like $16.
Okay, well, food cost makes sense, but that's a half order.
Yeah, there was a double order. There was something on the menu that was like $50 that you could get for.
What Jethro Bodine would eat that?
I don't know, but they had a lot of people in there. I think they still got some work to do on running the place. You know, they were low on their drinks, but it is a good thing. It's great for old Louisville, and I think the publicity is deserved. I mean, the mayor went down there on the day they opened last Friday, and
did he declare it seafoodism? Like he's just bourbonism?
I don't think we're going to be a seafood tourist destination. But
we're a bit landlocked for that, are we not?
We're not. So that was my great favorite eat of the week, and you are going to talk about the Mayan Cafe.
Yeah, Mayan Cafe. I was there for another reason other than to eat, but I had the spaghetti squash toss. So Mayan Cafe, by the time you guys hear this, it'll be over in terms of the 10-year anniversary menu, which featured all 10 of the most popular dishes from the past 10 years they've been in business. And in 2015 was the spaghetti squash toss, which had roasted spaghetti squash, roasted cauliflower, beets, goat cheese, carrots, and mulatto ginger coconut sauce. And it was fan-freaking-tastic for being the vegetarian dish. And I'm so glad I had it. But
wow, if that isn't making our listeners hungry, I don't know what will.
Oh, man. It was out of this world. So you had, as far as favorite drinks, you had a dirty bourbon.
A dirty bourbon. It's a new thing that they made up over there. I was right before the GLI meeting. Uh-huh. I was over at SET. They had a little get-together there sponsored by Ballantine. And Paul Toole was there, and he said, have a dirty bourbon. And it's a mix of it's on the rocks, but it's Maker's Mark. And original chocolate Ballantine. So it's
it sounds great.
Bourbon-y with a little chocolate in it. It was really good. Really good way to start. And before I got in there and saw John Snyder.
Well, so. I went neat. And again, at Mayan Cafe, they are, as far as I know, to date anyway, the only restaurant that serves tequila artenome. And artenome means basically art of the distillery. NOM is like DSP in Kentucky, where that stands for distilled spirits permit. Okay. And this signifies which distillery made the spirits. Well, they have three different distilleries that do a Blanco, Reposado, and Añejo. And they're fantastic tequilas, and you should you know, search them out. You can see them. Apparently, they're now at Silver Dollar. They're at La Chasse. They're at a couple of other restaurants, and they were fantastic, and I got to enjoy them, be one of the first in Louisville that did. And I love tequila, and that was really, really good stuff.
I really need to go out and share some tequila with you somewhere so I can appreciate it.
We can certainly go to Mind Cafe and get it, because I know they have it on the menu. The others are going to get it here shortly. So.
Okay, very good.
But speaking of great Nulu restaurants, we want to certainly thank our sponsors there, and that is Harvest with Elevated Hyperlocal Food. Served to you Tuesday through Saturday, 5 to 10 p.m. and brunch Friday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 2:30 p.m., 624 East Market. Don't miss out on three-course Thursdays. Give them a call, 384-9090, to make reservations.
And we should also mention Eyecare Institute down on Story Avenue, right in Butchertown. It's a great place to get any service you need done on your eyes. So remember Eyecare Institute down there when it's time to get that checkup.
Absolutely. So you got to speak to the ever charming, impersonable Dawn Bianconcini, who is a volunteer with Apron. Oh, she's a sweetie.
Just a little aside here, we just did our favorite drinks of the week, and she is a listener, listens to the show enough that she, as a person who distributes liquor, wanted to get on that part of the show. So next week we may have something from her.
Tell us about booze, Dawn.
A little
as if it's a bourbon familiar enough
that I'm sure you know about, and we'll keep the mystery alive until next week. Make sure I like it.
And so she talks about the Dine Around and how that this is a fundraiser for this organization.
Really great story about Apron. And I know most of our listeners are familiar with Apron, how it helps out people that work in food and drink, and it was appropriate. We had our interview down there at Super Chef's, mm-hmm. where I think she said that 15 employees benefited from Apron after their fire
last January. Wow.
So they're really supportive of the Apron message, and they have several events a year, which we talk about in the interview. And it's just a really good thing that we have in this city,
and of which Eat Drink Talk is a supporter.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's going to do it for our show this week. Steve, it's
next week should be just as dazzling.
Next week will be great. We'll have more news, right?
Hopefully we're going to figure out what's going to happen with BBC St. Matthews, right?
Yeah, we'll figure that out. And there's some other rumors cooking. And they'll all be, reminder our listeners, eatdrinktalk.net is the place to see stuff that Steve writes and the stuff that I write about what's going on in town. This week we had my story about John Schneider, and you had a couple of pieces. I can't remember.
I'm trying to think what they were.
But they were memorable for everybody, the people that write them.
Certainly so. Good gracious. Just a lot of news that we can't keep up with. That's the beauty and the curse of being a freelancer. We have a lot to remember and cover.
There you go. Well, it's all fun, and remember to get out there and eat and drink some this week. It's a week from Wednesday when you need to go out to eat on for
the
April,
Dine Around
on
February 8th.
So
good reminder. Glad you could remember that.
All right,
unlike our stories.
Hang in there for here comes my interview with Dawn.
Dessert, yes please.
And welcome back to Eat Drink Talk. I am today with Dawn Bianconcini.
You got it.
Learned how to say that in minutes or less. But Dawn, we're here to talk about Apron and all the important things that it does. And it so happens that we're here at Super Chef's for a reason.
We just had an excellent brunch.
Yeah, excellent food here. They just recovered from some pipe bursts. They were down for like 3 days, but it come back. It looks great. But they have a special place in the history of Apron.
They do. As a matter of fact, about a year ago today, or this week, I believe, Super Chefs and Chef Maria Bell and Silvio's all experienced a fire and took two of the restaurants out, Super Chefs being hit the hardest. Mm-hmm. We were able to help over 15 of their employees kind of make it through the hump until they were able to find new employment, which fortunately the city came together and helped get those guys some employment. It took a couple of months, but they're back and running. With that being said, there was a lot of press around their fires and the devastation and what their plans were to go with that. And Apron happened to be the charity that was behind the scenes helping the staff. Sure. So in that light, we kind of organically became more aware to the public.
Sure.
And so we have kind of escalated in awareness and support from the city and that kind of thing. So it's nice to be here at Super Chefs.
Yeah, it's great. It's a wonderful place, and it's a wonderful thing. Sometimes good things come out of bad things, I guess. I think I want to explain to our audience sort of who are the beneficiaries of Apron Charity. So we got a big event coming up.
We
in a few weeks, but it's mainly exists to help employees of food and beverage places.
Absolutely, it does. So it's independent restaurants in the greater Louisville area. So we do help also Southern Indiana, but it's anybody from the owners, the managers, front of the house staff, back of the house staff, anybody who's had some sort of catastrophic event that was beyond their control, and it takes them out of work for whatever reason. We've had injuries. We unfortunately have a lot of medical issues, cancers. We have deaths. We've had to pay for funerals. These guys do have insurance now quite often, but as you know, that if they miss a shift or two, then it certainly can take them, you know, out of their game as far as getting their bills paid. And I'm not talking colds and, you know, something that, you know, their stomach bug or that kind of thing. We're talking about pretty catastrophic events that typically keep them out of work for months at a time, and that's hard to bounce back from. So we don't pay the employees specifically. We don't write a check directly to them. We write a check to their vendors. They have to prove to us whether it's their rent or their LG&E bill or water bill, that kind of thing.
So if they're out of work for one of these catastrophic events, you might pay the rent.
That's right. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, that's a great thing. I want to ask a little bit about you. Now, you work in the for Heidelberg, which is a distributor to restaurants.
Correct.
And what kind of, it's mainly beverages, right?
I sell liquor, yes. Wine, spirits, and beer.
There you go.
I'm in the vice business. So, yeah, of course, that goes hand in hand with the restaurants and the bars. And then, so I get to kind of touch the faces and be around these folks and see, you know, their needs and what they are. And it kind of helps make Apron real. And it helps me, you know, just be in touch with the folks that we help every day.
So I imagine you call on all these restaurants,
quite
all these
organizations. Quite a bit. If I don't currently, I probably have at one point in all the years I've been in this business. Right?
Do you like look for new restaurants coming on board?
Well, you don't really have to look so much in Louisville anymore. They just kind of pop up, and there's so many tides and so many strings with the restaurants that are opening. So typically, if one's up and running, and say Fernando's opening another place, you know the buzz ahead of time.
You read about it on Eat Drink Talk.
Right. Absolutely, exactly right. That's where you get the news.
That's the place to go. Now you have been. I want to hear about your family too. Your husband works with you on Apron.
He does.
Tell
Luca
me that story.
Bianconcini is my husband. We are co-vice presidents for Apron. It was actually his idea to start this this charity many years ago. I don't remember how many years ago. He brought it up on Louisville Hot Bites, which is Robin Gar's forum, and because he's a musician and he had done fundraisers for MRF, which is, I don't know what it's called now, but it was at the time
Musicians
Emergency Relief Fund.
Yeah.
So we contacted them and we basically used their bylaws and guidelines and based it after that. So it's a very similar situation. So anyway, he put the idea out there. It didn't really stick. A few years later, one of the chefs, local chefs in town, got in a bind, and one of the other young ladies that was on the forum said, hey, didn't somebody bring this idea up? Why don't we do it? And from there, formed.
Well, and the biggest challenge, I'm sure, with all organizations like this is raising money, right?
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
Tell me how you raise money.
Well, we've got all kinds of events throughout the year. We do have one coming up this February 8th. It's a Wednesday night. It's a Wednesday, I should say. So you can have breakfast, lunch, or dinner, and about 40-plus participating restaurants all around Louisville and southern Indiana. All of those restaurants that are participating are sharing proceeds from their breakfast, lunch, or dinner to Apron, so they're making donations. So you're going to the restaurants and supporting them, of course, that evening, and that's a win for them. But you're also supporting the staff that's serving you and the staff that cooked your meal for you, enjoying a great meal, and then they're giving back to Apron. So we're all winning in this situation.
We all win, and we could come like right here to Super Chefs.
Super Chefs is the place to be. You could have breakfast here,
or
lunch
and
down
or
the street
lunch
at the Uptown. Head down the street to Jack Fry's and have dinner. You know, it could be a bounce down the street and then hit Frankfort Avenue. They're all over town, all the way out to Norton Commons, and as I said, in southern Indiana. So
yeah, it's hard to single out one.
It is. Multiple meals count.
Yeah. Okay. Have you looked that far ahead? Have you decided where you're going
to
go?
That's a hard, the toughest one, honestly, because we try to make, you know, there's only, I think, 11 of us on the board. So we try and get as many places as we can, then, of course, get our family and friends out to different places. And then being in the business, I'll be at several different establishments throughout the day Wednesday, so I'll have to have a little bite here and there.
Now, when you talk about this event, this is one event. I know they do other events, but how much money can you really look to raise, or what's the goal for Apron?
Every restaurant is different. We do ask for proceeds. We don't ask for a percentage, and it depends. A lot of people will give it to the penny. Some people I don't want to throw a number out there, but several hundred dollars just because they want to donate, okay. Whether they had a great day that day. We've had some snow days on the past dine-arounds. So our goal is to make money to, of course, you know, fill in the reserves that we have now, but also to make everyone aware of Apron. And that goes down to the staff, because a lot of times they don't even know we exist yet, that we're here to help them. So this helps in all avenues, making the money and raising the awareness.
Okay. Okay. And does Apron have an annual budget?
An annual budget?
Oh,
well, we'll need a bookkeeper here for that. That one doesn't fall under my...
I need it to the penny.
I can tell you what we've given out in grants so far. We're a little bit over $150,000. In a little over 5 years, and of course it took about a year and a half before we gave out our first grants. We didn't have any money to give,
right.
But we gave over $40,000 last year. January, being the fire for Super Chefs, as we said, sort of escalated us that year, so that last year was our biggest.
Okay. Biggest. Any other, I know that it's no fun to talk about catastrophe or disasters, but any other, you know, big events you've been involved with that
Yeah,
really
absolutely. We have a couple of events. We also have an Apron-held Taste of Independence that takes place around the 4th of July, a little play on the name, mm-hmm. Independence Day, of course, and then the restaurants, all being independent restaurants. And that's sort of a taste of Louisville or a taste of Derby.
Yeah, I went to that last year.
Gosh,
it was awesome.
Amazing. Amazing event.
It was just great.
Yeah, and it's just a really good feel because it's a building full of restaurant and people, you know, supporting themselves, and they're all having a really good time, and so that's a lot of fun. It's not set yet. It's going to be a Sunday in July, so look for that on our website.
I went last year.
It was amazing.
A good time.
It's a deal, too, for what you get and what you're supporting. It's a lot of fun.
Sure.
We also do, Maker's Mark is a great supporter of ours. We do an annual event during the Bourbon Festival. On Thursday night, it's called the Delectable Distillery Tour. And we choose bartenders and chefs, and there are at least six stations throughout the distillery where you'll stop and have a cocktail, and you'll stop and have a course, and then you'll have another cocktail and through on the distillery. And you talk about a magical night. It is absolutely beautiful and a lot of fun as well. That's probably our biggest fundraiser.
Yeah.
Makers is generous enough to give us 100% of the proceeds of that. Yeah, so it's a pretty big one. And then we have some smaller events throughout the year. Like Ellen Gill at Science Hill is a huge supporter of us, and she'll do an event a couple times a year. She's got one coming up on February 23rd, Das Meal.
Mm-hmm.
So that's being sponsored by Gordon Biersch.
Now, I remember that... one of the things I read, she was a recipient.
She was a recipient.
So part of the reason she's so supportive.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's kind of, we find out that happens a lot. It's unfortunate that something has to happen to someone before they become aware of us and or even that much more supportive.
Yeah. Well, it makes it a lot easier to get back when you've when you've received.
Right. Exactly. Very true. And she's been very generous to us.
Yeah. It's really great. I know there's a lot of folks that work in this industry in this town, and to have somebody speaking out for them, mm-hmm. I guess, or advocating for them and raising money for them.
Right.
It's got to be rewarding for you.
It is very rewarding. When we first started this, you know, I think sort of in our mindset, it was going to be broken bones, you know, and that kind of thing, a car accident here and there, which are horrible situations. Never did we imagine that it was going to be some of the heart-wrenching stories that we do here. So it is pretty... fulfilling to help these folks out and just give them some stress relief of anything. We're not saving the day, you know, we're not giving them a ton of money. We're giving them some pressure off so that they can heal or deal with whatever stress it is that they're having to work through.
Okay. Well, great. Well, we've got to wrap it up here, but just to repeat, it's February the 8th. It's a Wednesday.
All day long.
And you need to eat out those days. Right. Don't be going to McDonald's, right?
No. It's not good for you anyway.
Don't be doing that. It's independent restaurants all over town. And where can somebody find
you
a
list?
You
can find those restaurants on our Facebook page, which is just Apron Inc. You can go to our website at www.aproninc.org. We update those daily because a new restaurant will join in. They'll hear about it. Hopefully they'll hear this, and we'll get a few more restaurants that participate. But because we have such an amazing restaurant community, there are so many phenomenal places to eat all over town. So you'll find something to help support Apron.
If you just can't get enough, catch up on the news of the city's restaurant scene every single day by visiting www.eatdrinktalk.net. Steve and Rick share all the latest local scoop from Louisville's restaurants and bars. You can also find old episodes of the show and connect with the guys on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Eat well, my friends. Another episode next week.